Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share our experiences with school-located clinics in San Diego. I think you'll hear some familiar themes, so I'll go through this fairly quickly. Just some basics about San Diego County. We're a little smaller than LA. We have about 3.2 million population and 827,000 children between the ages of birth and 18 years. 44 public school districts with almost 500,000 students. And then of course some private schools. Just to get our bearings, a map of San Diego County. So we have Mexico at the south, and Orange County and LA are to the north with Camp Pendleton between us. And the area mostly to the right of your screen is primarily mountains and desert. So most of the population lives along the coast areas. We had been interested in school-located vaccination programs, and we sort of put our toe in the water in 2008. We tried three different models, but on a very small scale. We tried, in the first model, we provided vaccine to a local high school with the intent that the nurses would administer. And this was done at the initiation of that school principal, who was very committed to it. And it was very modest. You know, they maybe gave out a couple hundred doses. And then we tried another model where we had linked one of the UCSD, University of California, San Diego residents with a school district. And the resident worked with a school and they provided nasal vaccine. And that was great, but again, it's just a few hundred students. And a third model we tried, where we worked with a community health center that has a mobile unit, which was already working with schools in their community, and we just provided them with additional vaccine, which they weren't aware they could have at that time. And again, that was effective, but all of this is very small scale. What we hadn't tried before last year was engaging commercial vaccinators and doing this on a larger scale. We of course, were involved with a lot of planning with our County Office of Education, and we meet with the county regularly. We've been meeting with them about three times a year prior to H1N1 about a lot of different issues. In fact, we all carry little wallet cards with emergency numbers for all of the school people, and then they have our numbers, so we can all find each other if we need to. But of course, things we really stepped up our meeting schedule during H1N1, and we went, once they made the commitment that they wanted to try to provide vaccine in the schools, we put together a separate working group just to focus on that. And out of that group, we identified what some of the major concerns were, one of them being liability. Was it the school who was liable or the county? Who was going to pay for it? We needed to get school board approval. And so of those 44 districts, the largest one is San Diego Unified. And they needed an pretty extensive lead time to get this information to their board, as you could imagine. So we all had to hustle to make sure we got it put together in time for them, because we knew if their board approved it, then the other districts in the county would be likely. Everyone said, well, what's San Diego doing? We knew we needed to work on a consent form. Think about the logistics. How would this actually play out? And then we had to find vaccinators. There is not capacity in our schools to do this level of vaccination. The school nurses have been cut back considerably, and there was no way they could take this on. As part of our planning, we sent out a survey to all of the public school districts in September of 2009. 31 of 44 responded, and 24 were interested in school-located vaccination. We used the CDC templates to put together packets to start designing the letters, letters that would go out to families, promotional materials, and then to finalize the consent form and get it translated. So in addition to the schools, there were three key partners: the county, the University of California San Diego Immunization Partnership under the leadership of Dr. Mark Sawyer, and then of course the commercial vaccinators. The county's role was to execute memorandum of agreement with each of the school districts. This was required by our county. And also we needed to procure the commercial vaccinators. Now normally, I'm sure you know this, a county purchasing and contracting group like 6 to 9 months to do something like this, and we had maybe 2 months. I didn't know quite when that money was gonna drop. But I was fortunate and had a great purchasing officer who worked with me to get it done in about 6 weeks. We continued our coordination with the County Office of Education, response to media. Media was very interested. There was just high interest in this and what was going on and when were we going to do it and which school were we going to be at next. Finalized the consent form. We had to allocate, we were responsible for allocating the vaccine and then for a quality assurance component. In addition to the memorandum of agreement, we put together a participation protocol, which spelled out in a little bit more detail what the expectations were of the school and the county. And this was really useful because one of the things we learned during investigating the measles outbreak 2 years ago is not to assume anything, that you never, you can't expect that everybody has the same understanding of what's going on. And so it just talked about the clinic schedule, that we would work with the schools to do the best we could to give them the dates they wanted. But if everybody was asking for the same date at the same time, we knew we would have to make adjustments. If they didn't have their memorandum, their MOA signed in time, then we would reschedule. If we didn't have vaccine, we would reschedule. So we just wanted this all spelled out so people would be clear and what they could do to cancel clinics and so forth. We had, as part of our quality assurance, we assigned a public health nurse to each school-located vaccination clinic. And they would take a checklist with them and go through these items: storage and handling, administration, consent forms, visits were being passed out, et cetera. And they would offer help if the vaccination stations were set up kind of funky or they could do something to improve patient flow. And you know, we had the situation where it was the same two vendors and our little team of public health nurses, and they'd say, well, you were here yesterday, we're doing the same thing. But you know, they're people, and it was a lot of work and overwhelming at times, and things fell through the cracks, and sure enough, they would find stuff. You know, they weren't giving out the visas, or people had a disagreement about when they needed to use hand sanitizer, or there was always something, and I was really glad those nurses were there. And then they would do an after-clinic report and let us know if there were any incidents. So the relationship with UCSD and the county is that the county contracts with UCSD for the immunization program, and they were given the responsibility of working with the vaccinators and really implementing this whole thing. They conducted outreach to the school districts because, as you know, if somebody doesn't respond to a survey or answer an email or return your phone call, doesn't mean they don't want to participate. So we would still call them and try to find out for sure if they wanted to be involved. And again, this was very high profile. We didn't want any district to feel that they had been excluded or left out. And we also worked with the schools to prepare them for what to expect. So making sure they had a big enough space, that they had parking. Some of them brought in their local public safety people to help with traffic flow, pardon me, security issues, signage. And we made sure they always had a person on hand who was authorized to talk to media. UCSD also was involved in training the vaccinators, clarifying roles. They maintained the master list and scheduled all of the clinics, and then worked with, we tried to tailor it. So about half of the clinics were during school hours, and about half were either on weekends or after school. The vaccinator was responsible for actually implementing the vaccination clinics, sort of an operations lead. They were required to do all the setup and breakdown, and find nurses, and finding nurses was an issue because all of Southern California was looking for part-time nurses and temp nurses to help with this. And they were responsible for reporting any problems and letting us know right away. In terms of allocating vaccine, the County of San Diego made an effort to have as many access points to vaccine as possible, and so the amount we could allocate to schools was limited. And in order to be fair, we initially allocated 20% of total population per participating school. Some of those schools used up their 20% right away, and others didn't. As the vaccine supply became more abundant, then we were able to loosen that up a bit. And we focused on tier one groups only. So it was students and siblings, 6 months to 18, and then pregnant women, either parent families or staff, and then healthcare staff. We ended up providing 212 clinics in 26 districts, about 64,000 total doses. And as I said, about half during school day and half during after school and Saturdays. This says we had some private schools. There were maybe three or four private schools that participated, not that many. And this is just a brief little map of where the schools were, which is consistent with where most of the population is. These are the doses by age, and 49, almost 50,000 doses right in that school age group. We gave out a lot of nasal vaccine, and there was just a tiny bit of hesitation initially, but people kind of got over it because they really wanted the vaccine. And then the nurses started to really like it. So this shows the schedule, the activity over those 3 or 4 months. So that one big peak, the first one on the left, is right before Thanksgiving. That dip is Thanksgiving break. And then it goes up again, and then the next big dip is winter break. And then we had some interest in January, and of course it's pretty much faded out by now. We used the registry to, our immunization registry, to keep track. We weren't able to do real-time data entry, but we had, we entered the doses in afterwards. The registry disclosure was built into the consent form, and so that worked well. We had this nice reminder postcard developed by our Office of Media and Public Affairs. Then we did a post-clinic assessment survey. This was just a very quickie evaluation survey to the school districts and to try to understand why they decided to host a clinic. And these are some of the top reasons. They wanted to improve student attendance. They wanted to provide a community service. They knew there was limited availability of the vaccine and wanted to help with that. And then, of course, the risk of having outbreaks in their schools. And 93% found it, did not find any difficulties getting consent forms back. They only had to get the consent forms back if they did the clinic during school hours, if it was after school or weekends and the parent or guardian was right there. A lot of different people involved in planning clinics. A lot of administrators, not always the school nurse. That other category is really a mix of mostly administrative types, risk managers, student services. If it's a really tiny district, it could have been the office manager. Some minimal school costs, about $2,300. Many of them used volunteers to help on the day of the clinic, to help organize the crowd, help with signage, help with directing flow. kids didn't lose a lot of time away from the classroom. Obviously, the blue part, I think, is mostly the after-school and weekend clinics, but they lost either less than half an hour or an hour from school time, so that was pretty good. This is kind of interesting. Mostly people are fairly happy with the process, very satisfied or satisfied. The distribution and allocation of vaccine has some people maybe not quite as happy. I don't feel too badly about it because a lot of it was out of our control. And people were, were a couple of grumpy people there towards the end. But we'll follow up to see what we can do better with that next time. And again, most of the schools thought it was a beneficial activity for their communities. And the part they hated the most was the planning time, not having enough, and not having enough vaccine. And it's difficult. Schools plan out their facilities, as you know, months in advance. They plan out the whole calendar year. And if we had to cancel a clinic because we didn't have vaccine, it was very difficult for them to try to find another time. So we learned to get better at organizing our clinics and estimating how much staff would be needed, estimating the number of doses. If we knew the consent forms were coming in advance, it was easy to figure it out, but if we didn't know, that was a little trickier. And our commercial vaccinators got better at it too as we went along. We learned that not all vaccinators are equally proficient, and we really needed to do a lot of training. And in fact, one of the issues was vaccinators who can't vaccinate babies. We had one who wouldn't vaccinate children younger than three. So that was challenging. And of course, the inventory accountability. We're now looking into trying to find a barcode system that will work for us. It's a little late, but we'll have it for next time. In conclusion, families liked it. They thought it was a safe, trusted place at a school to get their vaccines. The children seemed comfortable getting a vaccine at their school. Schools thought they were providing a valuable community service. Well, they were. And the funding, the FIRR funding, really made it happen. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Michelle DeGuire. In fact, those are her credentials you see in the catalog. It was a little mix-up. Terry Olson and Nancy Fink were the two consultants who worked with UCSD and coordinated with all of the schools. And Dr. Wooten is our public health officer. Thank you.